السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا.
أنا عبد الرحمن، كيف الحال؟
الحمد لله يا شيخنا، أحسن الله إليك.
آمين، حياكم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. لولا الجهاد في سبيل الله والحج وبر أمي لأحببت أن أموت مملوكا. أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه said, لولا الجهاد في سبيل الله. If not for jihad في سبيل الله, if not for Hajj, if not for the fact that if you are a slave, you cannot at the same time direct service and attention and care for your parents. If not for these three things, la ahbabtu an amuta mamluka. La ahbabtu an amuta mamluka. I would have desired to pass away, to live and die as a slave. This means that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu does not desire to live and die as a slave, even though there are great rewards for a person if he dies as a slave and he fulfills the worship of Allah and the rights of his owner. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says he has two rewards. Yes, these rewards are great, but the rewards of participating in jihad, which is not possible unless a slave obtains the permission of his master, or the rewards of Hajj, which is not possible unless the slave becomes free from slavery, and maintaining the ties and being kind to our parents, this is not possible for an individual who is a slave. For these three reasons, then Abu Huraira does not desire to be a slave. But if not for these reasons, the rewards of being a slave who fulfills the rights of Allah and the rights of his master are so enormous. So this hadith only goes to make us understand that the rewards of being a slave are enormous if the slave duly serves Allah and duly discharges the duties that his master may give him, may place under him. So that makes us understand, yes, if the man is a slave, he still has some rewards. He has something to look forward to. He has a way of feeling hopeful that at least if he's a slave in this dunya and he dies as a slave in this dunya, there is hope for Al-Jannah and beautiful rewards on the day of Qiyamah. However, the rewards of jihad fi sabilillah, the rewards of Hajj, and the rewards of servitude and maintaining ties, providing service and maintaining ties with our parents, being kind to them, are so great that it would not make anybody desire to be a slave despite the huge rewards that the slave would receive if he were dutiful to Allah and if he were dutiful to the one who owns that slave. I hope that class was clear yesterday. Today, inshallah, we'll be ending these issues regarding our slaves and our subordinates. In it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, Babun la yaqulu abdi. The chapter about the Muslim who has a slave should not refer to his slave and say, Ya abdi, O my slave. O Muslim, if you have a slave, don't say to your slave, Ya abdi, O my slave. Making this expression to say, O my slave, is something that is discouraged in Islam. Don't say to a slave that you own, Ya Abdi, when you call your slave. Don't say, Ya Abdi, O my slave, So what should the person say? How should he refer to his slave? Why is it that referring to the slave and saying, Ya Abdi, has been prohibited in Islam? These issues will be responded to, inshallah, on that chapter 8. Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, Babul, La Yaqulu Abdi. The chapter regarding the fact that the individual should not refer to his slave and say, My slave. This hadith will occur with us under hadith number 209. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said on that, Rahimahullah, he said, Haddathana Muhammad ibn Ubaydillah, قال حدثني ابن أبي حازم عن الأعلى عن أبيه عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال لا يقول أحدكم عبدي لا يقول أحدكم عبدي The Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said لا يقول أحدكم عبدي Amati kullukum abidullah wa kullu nisaikum ima'ullah wal yakul gulami jariyati wafatai wafatati Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah reported this hadith from his Shaykh Muhammad ibn Ubaydillah who said haddathani ibn Abi Hazim Ibn Abi Hazim in this isnad is Abdul Aziz. So he is Abdul Aziz Ibn Abi Hazim and he's reporting from Al-Ala. Al-Ala in this isnad is Al-Ala Ibn Abdul Rahman Ibn Ya'qub Al-Madani. We had read a number of ahadith from him. He is Al-Ala Ibn Abdul Rahman Ibn Ya'qub Al-Madani. And he is reporting from his father. And so his father is Abdul Rahman ibn Ya'qub al-Madani, the father of Al-Ala, from whom Al-Ala reports this hadith. He is Abdul Rahman ibn Ya'qub al-Madani, the father of Al-Ala ibn Abdul Rahman. So he is Al-Ala ibn Abdul Rahman al-Madani. He is the one who has reported this hadith from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Huraira reported from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam who said, La yaqul ahadukum adji amati. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La yaqul ahadukum No one of you should say Abdi Amati. No one of you should refer to his slave. No one of you should call his slave. When you call your slaves, don't say Abdi, my slave, or Amati, my slave, female. Don't say Abdi, my slave, male. And when you refer to your female slaves, Don't say, Amati, my slave, female. The Prophet said, Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, said, La yaqul ahadukum abdi amati. No one of you should refer to his slave and say, Abdi, if he were a male, or Amati, if he were a female. The Prophet said, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Kullukum abidullah. All of you are all slaves of Allah. Both you who own the slave, your male slave, and your female slave, the entirety of you are being Allah. You are slaves of Allah. وَكُلُّ نِسَائِكُمْ إِمَاءُ اللَّهِ And the entirety, all of your women, they are also slaves of Allah. You the men. All of you, kullukum abidullah. You are all abidullah. You are all slaves of Allah. Wa kullu nisaikum ibadullah. And all your women are also slaves of Allah. Wal yaqul gulami jariyati. You should rather say gulami when you refer to your male slaves. Instead of saying abdi, you should say gulami, my boy. Gulami, my boy. Or you can say jariyati, my girl. You can also say fatai, my lad. You can also say fatati, my maid. When you refer to your slaves, don't say abdi if you are a male. Say gulami if you refer to your female slave. My female slave, say amati. Don't say that. You should rather say jariyati au fatati. You should say jariyati au fatati. Don't say amati. Likewise, don't say abdi to your male slave. You should rather say gulami to your male slave, meaning my boy. So you can use the expression gulami, my boy, but you should not use the expression abdi, my slave. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he prohibited us to say abdi and amati. Abdi would refer to our male slaves, and amati would refer to our female slaves. Al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, in the sharh of this hadith in Sahih Muslim, he said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has prohibited us from referring to our male slaves as abdi, my slave. Why? لأن حقيقة العبودية إنما يستحقها الله تعالى. He said, because the reality, the essence of worship, إنما, the essence of being a slave, the essence of being a servant, actual servitude, إنما يستحقها الله. The only person who deserves it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you say abdi, my slave or my servant, it's like you are ascribing the service, servitude, worship that person should give. You are ascribing it to yourself. That is one of the things that expression abdi could mean. The expression could mean that you ascribe that person's worship should be directed to you. So the Imam al-Nawawi said, haqiqatul ubudiyyah, the reality, the essence of worshiping, the essence of servitude, innama yastahiqqu Allahu subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah alone deserves it. So because Allah alone deserves to be worshipped, because Allah alone deserves to be absolutely served, because Allah alone deserves that our reverence is directed towards Him, then if you call your slave abdi, it may become out of place and it may lead the individual to things that are not appropriate. So the first reason Al-Imam al-Nawawi said is that ubudiyya, when you say abdi, my slave, you may be, that expression can mean that you request that person is a person who directs servitude to you. To go away from these kinds of shubha and ambiguity, because servitude or mudiya belongs to Allah alone. La yastahiqquha illallah. No one deserves it except Allah. Therefore, it should not be employed by us to imply that a person may direct worship to us. He gave a second reason why the Prophet prohibited it. He says, "Wali anna fiha ta'awiman bima la yaliqu bil makhluq." He says, "Wali anna fiha ta'awiman bima la yaliqu bil makhluq istihmaluhu li nafsihi." "Li anna fiha," because that expression, when you say abdi, my slave, it involves what? Ta'zeeman. It involves directing some sort of a reverence to you, the owner of the slave. If you say, hey, my slave, my servant, you are inadvertently inviting an ascription to yourself. And that ascription you invite to yourself when you refer to your slave or your servant as my servant or my slave, liarly could be not. That ascription is not befitting. It's not in place. It's not deserving that a created being, liarly could be mafluki, is it is not appropriate that a created being uses that expression regarding himself. So a created being should not employ an expression that will imply inviting worship towards himself. But when you say Abdi, my slave, that expression may involve that. The third reason why using that expression Abdi or Amati when we refer to our female slaves, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, la yaqul ahadukum Abdi Amati. No one of you should say Abdi, referring to his slave, Bid, my servant, or Amati, my servant, female. The third reason why we should not say that is that Al Imam al-Nawawi said, وَقَدْ بَيَّنَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْعِلَّةَ فِي ذَلِكَ فَقَالَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had explained another reason why we should not say that. He said, كُلُّكُمْ عَبِيدُ اللَّهِ. You are all slaves of Allah. فَنَهَا عَنِ التَّطَاوُلِ فِي اللَّغْزِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited us from being showing pride or arrogance in our expressions. كَمَا نَهَا عَنِ التَّطَاوُلِ فِي الْأَفْعَالِ. Just as he has prohibited us from showing arrogance or pride in our actions. Meaning that to refer to your servant or slave as, hey, my slave, Abdi, Amati, if it were a female, it involves three things. One, Ubudiya is meant for Allah alone. Allah alone deserves ibadah. So when you refer to your slave as Abd, it has inside it an ascription of ibadah to yourself, and this is not lawful. The third thing it may have, it may include, is that it may include some arrogance, some sort of self-importance from that person who is calling another person Abdi. And then the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reminding us all, kullukum abidullah. All of you, you are all servants of Allah. So both the master and the slave, male and female, kullukum abidullah. You are all servants of Allah. Wa kullu nisa'ikum ima'ullah. And all your females are female servants of Allah. Then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, as it's common with him in the books of hadith, and also as is common in verses of the Quran, he now taught us what to do after prohibiting us from something. That's why the ulama say, if you say something is bad, oh people, don't do this, especially regarding the issues of statements and actions, or day-to-day statements and actions of the people. If you say, don't do this, then it is appropriate that we teach the people, do this. When Allah in the Quran prohibited the Muslims and the people from saying ra'ina, he says, la taqulu ra'ina wa qulu inna wasma'u. So you see, he said, don't say ra'ina. What you should rather say is inna, look at us, wasma'u, and listen to us. So ra'ina was an expression that was ambiguous, by which the Jews used to insult the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So if there is an ambiguous statement that can mean something that is lawful and that can mean something that is not lawful, we were prohibited from it. And by that, we are giving an alternative. The same thing. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, la yakul ahadukum abdi abati. None of you should refer to his male slave and say abdi. None of you should refer to his female slave and say abati. Because you are all slaves and servants of Allah. Then he taught us what to do. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, wal yakul gulami. So if you ask, what is the appropriate way if a man has a slave? What is the appropriate way to refer to his male slave? He should say, Ulami. And what is the appropriate way to refer to his female slave? The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Jariyati. Jariyati. And you can see these expressions. Ulam only means a young boy. The boy may be a slave. The boy may not be a slave. If you say gulam, you only refer to a young boy. We remember the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas in the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi, the hadith occurs in the books of Sunnah, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to Abdullah ibn Abbas and said, Ya gulam. So this makes us understand that gulam may be only referring to a young boy, whether that boy is a slave or not. Now, if we refer to a slave as gulam, he knows that he's a slave. And it also implies that there is some sort of respect and honor that is connected to it, instead of referring to him and say, hey, my slave. You can say, my boy. Because the boy, yes, the boy gulam would be a slave. It could also refer to a non-slave, which makes it form an expression or a word that involves honor for the person that is called and humility for the person who is calling him. Humility for the master and honor for the young slave. So instead of saying, my slave, you say, my boy, because that involves humility for you and it also involves some sort of respect and esteem for him. Then the Prophet taught us and said, as for girls, we can also say jariyati. It's the same thing. Jariyati means a young girl. The young girl is referred to as jariya. Likewise, a slave girl may also be referred to as what? Jariya. So you can see, when a woman or a man says to his female slave, jariyati, that is meaning my girl, he has employed an expression that involves humility for himself and an expression that shows some sort of respect for that young slave girl. Another expression we can use is to say, Fataya, my young lad, my lad. And then for the females, we can say, Fatati, my maid. So instead of saying Amati, you can say Fatati. Instead of saying Amati, you can say Jariyati. Instead of saying Abdi, you can say Gulami. Instead of saying Abdi, you can say Fataya. So these are expressions that are not, they show humility of the person who is referring to the slave. And they also show respect for the person that we refer to. There's a lesson here I would like us to highlight before we move to the next hadith. And that lesson is that this hadith makes us understand that the owner of a slave, even in the approach, in the way that he refers to his slave, calling him, Islam teaches us to be humble. Yes, he is your slave, but when you refer to him, express it with some sort of humility. Don't express it with a statement that shows oppression and aggression, and that person's subservience towards you, such as saying, Abdi, my slave. Instead of saying, my slave, you should rather say, Gulami, my boy. And that shows that the boy, the slave too, has some sort of respect in Islam, so much that even in the way we refer to them, it must show respect. I hope that this hadith is clear. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, so that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, la yaqul ahadukum abdi abati. No one of you should refer to his male slave and say abdi, nor should you refer to your female slave and say amati. Why? Because you yourself referring to the slave, you are a slave of Allah. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, kullukum abidullah. You are all slaves of Allah. Wa kullu nisaikum ima'ullah. And the entirety of your women, all the women, both slaves and freeborn, you are all slaves and servants of Allah. Rather, what you should say is, gulami, my boy, jariyati, or my girl, or fataya, which means my lad, or you can say fatati, which means my maid. So it is not lawful to refer to a slave and say abdi, abdi. Ulama says, if you are describing the fact that you have a slave, someone asks you, you have a slave, say now indi abd, awli abd. Yes, I have a slave. I own a slave. You are not necessarily referring to him. But when you have to refer to the slave, don't refer to a slave as a slave. Refer to a slave as a young boy, gulam, or a young girl, fatat, or fataya, a young boy, or fatati, my young girl. I hope that that is clear from Hadith 209. We can move on to Hadith 210, and that comes under the chapter heading, Babun Hal Yaqulu Sayyid. The chapter regarding, should the slave refer to his master as master, Sayyid, master? Should the slave say Sayyid? Should the slave refer to the one who owns him and say Sayyid? Should the slave do that? Should the slave say Sayyidi? Should the slave employ that word when he refers to his master? This is the issue that we'll consider under this chapter heading. Just as we consider the issue of how does the master refer to the slave, in this case, we'll be talking about how does the slave refer to the master. We had talked about how the master should refer to the slave. The master should say, Gulami or Fataya, when he refers to the mates. And he should say, Jariyati wa Fatati, when he refers to the females. So these are the provisions of the Sharia regarding these issues. The next hadith says in Hadith 210, Al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah,
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shaykhan, assalamu alaikum.
I had a brief fluctuation there.
Naam, ya shaykhan.
We were starting Hadith 210, where Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, haddathana Hajjaj ibn Minhad, qala haddathana Hammad ibn Salama, an Ayyub wa Habib wa Hisham, an Muhammadin. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال لا يقولن أحدكم عبدي وأمتي ولا يقولن المملوك ربي وربتي وليقل فتايا وفتاتي وسيدي وسيدتي كلكم مملوكون والرب الله. Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah reported this hadith from one of his major teachers, Hajjaj ibn Minhal. He said, Haddathana Hammad ibn Salama. Al-Imam Hammad ibn Salama was known to be very, very worshipful, rahimahullah. And he is reporting from three of his teachers. is firstly, Hammad ibn Salama is reporting from three of his teachers. The first of them is Al-Imam Ayyub al-Sakhtiyani. Al-Imam Ayyub al-Sakhtiyani. Hammad ibn Salama has collected this hadith from three different sources. The first one was from Al-Imam Ayyub al-Sakhtiyani. He's also reporting it from Habib, and he is Habib ibn Shahid Abu Muhammad. Habib ibn Shahid Abu Muhammad al-Azdi. He is reporting it from Habib ibn Abu Muhammad. Habib ibn Shahid Abu Muhammad. And then he is reporting it from Hisham ibn Hassan Abu Abdullah. Hammad ibn Salama has three teachers in this hadith. The first one, Al-Imam Ayyub al-Sakhtiya. The second one, Habib ibn Shahid Abu Muhammad. The third person, Hisham ibn Hassan Abu Abdullah al-Azim. These are the three people from whom Hammad ibn Salama has reported this hadith. And the three of them have all reported it from Muhammad ibn Sirin. The three teachers from whom Hammad ibn Salama reported the hadith, the three of them reported it from the eminent Tabi'i of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad ibn Sirin, who is reporting it from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم who said لا يقولن أحدكم عبدي وعمتي like we read in the previous hadith. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said here too لا يقولن none of you should for any reason say عبدي وعمتي don't refer to your slave and say عبدي my slave وعمتي or my female slave. Don't say that. And that had been cleared in the previous study. And then it went on to say, وَلَا يَقُولَنَّ الْمَمْلُوكُ likewise, the slave should not also ever say, رَبِّي وَرَبَّتِي. The slave should not refer to the male master and say, رَبِّي. رَبِّي, my lord. Don't use that expression. وَرَبَّتِي, or my lord, female. Don't use these expressions when you refer to your masters. The slave should not do so. وَلْيَقُلْ The Prophet, brother, alayhi salatu wasalam, taught us what to say. He taught us to say, فَتَايَا وَفَتَاتِي You can say, my little lad, my lad. For a male, فَتَايَا or فَتَاتِي You can say, my maid, for a little girl. As for the masters, you should say, وَسَيِّدِي وَسَيِّدَتِي. You should say, Sayyid, my master. Sayyid actually refers to the master. وَسَيِّدَتِي, or the master, female. So the slave can refer to his owner as Sayyidi, but the slave should not refer to the master as what? Rabbi. If it were a female, the slave should not refer to the female owner as what? Rabbati. So Rabbi, Rabbati, don't use those expressions. Ar-Rabb, the one who created all things, who truly owns all things is Allah. The one who truly owns all things is Allah. So this will put us away from ascribing indirectly any aspect of Rububiyya, or in making statements that may imply that Rububiyya, the fact that Allah owns all things, the fact that Allah created all things, the fact that Allah sustains all things, this is the Rububiyya of Allah. So by way of discouraging us from ascribing Rububiyya to a human being is the way that this door to shirk is closed. It's a means of closing the door to shirk. Just like saying Abdi is a means to closing the door to shirk in terms of ibadah. Not permitting us to refer to the master, or a slave to refer to the master as Rabbi, is also closing the door from the aspects of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. It is closing the door to infringement in the aspects of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, so that
You don't refer to somebody as Rabbi, Rabbi, Rabbi. And then it begins to occur in your mind as if that person is the real Rabb. That's why the Prophet said, Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Kullukum mamlukun. All of you, you are slaves. You are owned by Allah. Wa Rabbu Allahu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the rest of you, you are all owned by Allah ta'ala. The one who is a Rabbu, the owner of all of you, the creator of all of you, the originator of all of you, is Allahu subhanahu wa ta'ala. I hope that it is clear to you. It will, like we mentioned at the beginning, to make, give some sense of honor and respect for that slave and some sense of humility for that master who owns a slave. So instead of considering himself as a Rabb, he sees himself as a master. And there is a wide gap between the two, referring to a human being as Rabb and referring to the master as Sayyidi is a better thing to do than saying that he is Rabb. I hope that this is also clear too, so that we can quickly move to the last hadith under these issues regarding our dealings with our slaves. That will occur in hadith number 211. In it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, حدثنا مسدد قال حدثنا بشر ابن الفضل قال حدثنا أبو مسلمة عن أبي نضرة عن مطرف قال أبي مطرف here is مطرف ابن عبد الله ابن الشقيق. مطرف is مطرف ابن عبد الله ابن الشقيق, the son of the eminent companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah ibn Shikhir. So when Mutarrif says here that Qala Abi, my father said, who is his father that he refers to? That is Abdullah ibn Shikhir, the eminent companion of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, Abdullah ibn Shikhir. So Abdullah ibn al-Shakhir said, in talaq to a wafdi bani Amir ila al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I came in the party that came to meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that group was the group from the tribe of Banu Amir. I came in the delegation of Banu Amir ila Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Shakir, he was in the delegation of Banu ibn Amir. He was in the delegation of Bani Amir. Abdullah ibn Shakir, he said, in Talaqtu fi wafdi Bani Amir ila Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I came in the delegation of Banu Amir that came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they arrived with the Prophet, they started to say, Anta Sayyiduna, you are our master. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, As-Sayyidu Allah, the real master, absolute master is Allah. You will see the sense of the messenger's divinity. Alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet himself, alayhi salatu wasalam, yes, he told us that, Ana Sayyid Waladi Adam. I am the leader of the children, the descendants of Adam. But here when he referred to us as Sayyid, he diverted the attention and said, As Sayyid, the real Sayyid, the one who is absolutely the Sayyid, the master, the absolute master of all things, is who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is also from the aspects of the Prophet's huge humility, alayhi salatu wasalam, and not wanting to be praised. Just like he says, La Taturuni, don't praise me like Isa alayhi salam praised that the Banu Israel began to praise Isa alayhi salam for salam, and they brought him away above his status. He advised us to say, he said, I am Abdullah wa Rasul. I'm Abdullah wa Rasul. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Abdullah, he's a servant of Allah. He's a slave of Allah. Like Allah says, Kullukum Abidullah. All of you, you are servants of Allah. So the Prophet is Abdullah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Abdullah. Referring to the Prophet as Abdullah will cut off all aspects of going beyond limits in terms of praising the Prophet. Like those people who think that the Prophet knows the future. Like those people who think that it was because of the Prophet that Allah created the world. Like those people who think that the Prophet writes Portuguese, Al-Qadr, or that he sees Allah, where the decrees are written. And all of these aspects of praising the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam beyond the status that Allah has placed him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Innama ana abdullah, I am no more than a slave of Allah. Then he said, alayhi salam, wa rasuluhu. Rasuluhu places him in his place, alayhi salam, as a messenger of Allah. So Abdullah removes him from the areas of going beyond limits. Rasuluhu brings him to his actual place. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Abdullah wa Rasuluhu. He is the servant of Allah, the messenger of Allah. So when he is referred to as Anta Sayyiduna by way of praising him, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam diverted that attention and says, As Sayyidu, the one who is absolutely the master of all his school, Allah, Qalu, the people began to say again, praising the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Wa afdaluna, Anta afdaluna, you are the one that is better amongst us, Fadla, in terms of virtues. وَعَظَمُنَا طَوْلَى You are also the greatest amongst us in terms of age, benevolence, and all of these. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, قُولُوا بِقَوْلِكُمْ Stop praising me. قُولُوا بِقَوْلِكُمْ Say what you want to say. لَا يَفْتَجْلِيَنَّكُمُ الشَّيْطَانِ Do not allow the shaitan to push you. Say your words. Because it is the shaitan that pushes the people to praise people beyond their limits. Shaitan pushes the people to begin to say things that they should not say about a human being. So when they said, Anta Sayyidina, it says, As Sayyidu Allah. And then they say, Afdaluna Fadla. You are also the best of us in terms of virtues. You are the best of us in terms of benevolence. You are the best of us in terms of this. The Prophet said, No. Say what you want to say. So that shaitan does not push you beyond where you should be. It is shaitan that makes the people praise people beyond their limits, beyond their places. When it happens, the individual should cut it off. That's why in our deen, praising the people is from the aspects of breaking their backs. We shall come back to it in this book, Al-Adabul Mufrad. The only time when we should praise the people or the circumstance where we should praise the people are when speaking positively about them will encourage them. If it will encourage them, we should do so. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did so regarding Abu Bakr al-Siddiq when he said to him, alayhi salatu wa sallam, that Anta atiqu Allah min Allah. You are a person that Allah has freed from the fire. He also said to Abu Bakr al-Siddiq that ma nafa'ani malu. No wealth benefited me as the wealth of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq benefited me. He also praised Uthman, alayhi salatu radiallahu anhu, and many of the companions. So you praise a person. When praising him will encourage him to do more and encourage others to do more. But be careful about going beyond bounds in expressing words of praise to people. Who brings about going beyond bounds when we praise people? That is shaitan. That was why the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Say, all people, say your words. Kulu biqawlikum. Say the actual things that you actually wanted to say. Express yourself. Go straight to your message. La yastajriyannakum shaytan. So that shaytan does not push you beyond limits and you begin to express words that are for Allah alone or that are beyond the human being that you praise. Begin to express it to praise a human being, thereby going beyond bounds. These are the last in the series of reports that we shall read here regarding our slaves. The rest of the reports are regarding our dealings with the rest of the people. We had read reports about dealings with our mothers. We had read reports about dealings with our fathers. We had read reports about dealings with our relatives. We had read reports about dealing with our neighbors. We had read reports about dealing with women who are cut off from male support, widows, and divorcees. We had read reports about orphans and how our dealings with orphans should be. We had read reports about even when a woman has miscarriage, what does she stand to gain? And then we came to read reports about our slaves, our servants, and the rest of our subordinates. How do we relate to them? So the last of what we read regarding that is that don't refer to your slave if you have one. If you have a slave, don't say, "Amti, my slave." Don't say that. Likewise, you should not say, "Amati, my female slave." The female slave too and the male slave, when they refer to you as the master, they should not say, "Rabbi." What should they say? "Sayyidi." If it were a female, they should not say, "Rabbati." What should they say in the place? "Sayyidati." That is what they should say. This is what we have come. The rest of the reports, bismillah, that we shall continue with in our book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, are our dealings with the generality of the people. Dealings with the generality of the people. Dealings with the generality of the people. How does a man comport himself in his home? How does a woman comport herself in her home? If a person does good to you, how do you respond? And things like this, general things of manners and good character that the Muslim should have and show to the rest of the people that he or she relates with. This is where we'll stop here, inshallah, regarding our book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. Bismillah, we'll continue in our next class. But before that, I have an announcement for us. We had started our madrasa, Darul Asar, here in Oshogbo. Initially, we did not have a boarding house. And then we had a boarding house, which was very small. And then, bismillah, we were able to move to a bigger place. We took on a set of students for our preparatory class for the secondary school at Tamhidi. And those students will be ending their session by January. So between now and January, we adjure us, bismillah, to start shortlisting our kids, those boys in primary 4, primary 5, primary 6, bring them, bismillah, to Darul Asa. We will only be running that class with 15 boys and 15 girls. The shortlisting 15 boys and 15 girls between now, inshallah, and January. So the space is open for us to shortlist. We can call the school numbers and write down the names of our kids so that they can start with us in January. The school has also allowed that, bismillah, we can take up students who want to start now. If a boy wants to start memorizing his Quran now, between now and January when the session starts, we have a place for such students. He will be shortlisted. He will actually be starting the session fully in January, where he can start the classes now for his Quran, for his Arabic, and the rest of the courses that we have in that class. The class will be starting officially in January, but school can take responsibility for the children from now onwards, such that the students can, bismillah, they can continue their memorization of the Quran, learning Arabic and all the rest of the things that I learned between now and January. So two things are going on. Shortlist students to start that class, the Tamhidi class. The Tamhidi class is for primary 4, 5, 6 boys. These boys or girls, as the case may be, we have provisions for the two. They will go through preparation for federal common entrance within a full academic session of 3 terms. That is what they will do regarding their mundane science. They will take their mathematics, their English, their basic sciences, and the rest of the courses that will prepare them for the federal common entrance. And then on the other hand, they will be reading those Lugha Arabiya, learning Arabic, and perfecting their Quran memorization and tajweed all within 1 year before they start our JS class. It is essentially for boys and girls in primary school age, primary 4, primary 5, primary 6. We'll see on the adverts that we shall send across the rest of the information regarding this. There are telephone numbers on that small video that we have made. Abu Yusuf was displaying it on the screen and showing off part of the school. We're expecting that we shortlist our wards for this opening in the school. If we have one or two questions that Abu Yusuf has gathered for us today, we can take them. Abu Yusuf, you have questions for today? There's a question here that someone says, I was told by a friend that Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam came to abolish slavery, and he never owned nor did he encourage it. What is the correct stand in this regard? This is not true at all. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had slaves and he freed slaves. He inherited slaves and he freed slaves. So there he had slaves. He did not come to abolish slavery. The clear-cut text of the Quran, of the Hadith, did not show any. In fact, they affirm how to relate with the slave. Islam has not come to abolish slavery. It rather came to manage and teach mankind how to relate with the slaves when they have slaves. And like you mentioned, when they have slaves, from the things that make people have slaves is war. War. So if jihad is established and will be established until the day of Qiyamah, if jihad is still part of Islam, and jihad is part of Islam, it means that the Muslims will be having slaves. Because if you fight a valid, legal, established jihad, you will have slaves. So if you have slaves, these rulings we have read to us are the means of relating with slaves. We still have communities, except for the issues of propaganda and hypocrisy in different parts of the world. There are still people who are descendants of slaves in interior communities, and they are still related with their slaves. In different parts of the world, some people fought war and took prisoners of war. They took them to islands, built an island, and we are punishing them. They are slaves too. Those they took to islands and punished as slaves. But they don't want to refer to them as slaves. They gave them another name so that they can punish them and relate with them in manners that humanity, mankind will not know what harm that they do to them. So these kinds of hypocrisies are not in Islam. As far as there are wars amongst people, as far as there are wars amongst mankind, wars between Islam and Kufr, the Muslims will definitely have slaves, just like they have the Nima, the proceeds from war that they will distribute. So these are the rulings on how to relate to the slave. If the person has a slave, but to say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because you want to play to the gallery to please people who are themselves not upon any standards of morality, to say that the Prophet came to abolish slavery is not true at all. I hope that the matter is clear, inshallah. Someone else says, I'm aware slavery has been long abolished. Yes, it is abolished on the papers and on the mouths, but there is hardly any country of the world that has fought wars that does not have slaves. the US have. They have them. They call them prisoners of war. So these rulings we have read here are how to handle those people they call prisoners of war. There was war in Baghdad, in Iraq, first Operation Desert Storm, and the second one. All these are wars. People were taken as slaves. There was war in Afghanistan. People were taken as slaves. So how have they related with this slave? These are the same people who will say that slavery has been abolished. And these are the people we want to try to please. Islam is a deen of reality. The reality is that as far as there are wars amongst human beings, then definitely there will be slaves amongst human beings. As far as there are wars, as far as there are hostilities amongst people, then there will be slaves. When there are slaves, how do you relate with them in that circumstance, in that reality of that we have slaves? But to just say on the paper that you read in the news that slavery is abolished, nobody can abolish what is established in the Sharia. The jihad is established in the Sharia. When Muslims go on jihad, they have captives, male and female, it is lawful for them to distribute among themselves. As slaves, some of them will accept Islam. Some of them will be freed. Many companions freed many slaves. And they are encouraged to do so in Islam. But to say that slavery is established is just a thing on the paper. As far as Islam is concerned, there are slaves, and there will be slaves because there will still be jihad till the day of Qiyamah. There is no necessarily being apologetic about the matter, brothers. I hope that the matter is clear. I do not know whether Abu Yusuf is still online. Abu Yusuf, so that we can take the questions he has with him. Faib, I tried to answer the questions that that we have here. I think in the absence of we can stop the class today, bi-idhnillah. We can stop the class today, bi-idhnillah, and continue the rest of the classes in the coming week, bi-idhnillah. It will be about discussions about our relationship with people, generally speaking. The videos and the flyers about the madrasa and who to contact and all of that will go around shortly, bi-idhnillah. May Allah grant us success. Grant us his tawfiq and forgive our shortcomings. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.